Mississippi Center for Justice, where we believe that an informed consumer is an empowered consumer, and we want you to be empowered through the information we present on the show today. How's that?
Hey, that sounds great. That sounds great. So now we're discussing financial decisions for college, right?
Yeah, it's May, which means it's graduation season. It's graduation month.
Okay.
For some high school graduates, the next logical step is college, which also includes major financial decisions. Mm-hmm. So today's show will be about student banking, specifically managing your college money. And unlike that first school ID photo, your first banking relationship could last long after you graduate. So making a smart decision now will mean fewer surprises. Later on.
So it would be best, right, if they start thinking about bank accounts and things of that nature, right?
Absolutely, yes. And they should choose an account as soon as possible. You should try to find one before you start school, before you start college. Once you have a bank account, sign up for a direct deposit with your school before classes start. That saves you a lot of time when you're trying to choose classes and get there on time.
Okay.
If you are expecting money from your financial aid office, you will often get it faster this way. It can be weeks before the school gets to writing you a paper check if you're getting financial aid that way. Shop around and don't feel limited to only the banks or credit unions that have ATMs on or near campus. Some will automatically reimburse fees for using any ATM machines.
Okay.
Consider accounts that offer services like remote check deposits, mobile apps, and online bill pay.
Okay.
And dig deeper when accounts are marketed as free or easy. Very few accounts charge no fee at all.
So now the banks, right, they charge some monthly fees, right?
Yeah. Many require minimum balances or regular direct deposits to avoid monthly fees.
Okay. So what about those out-of-network fees and the overdraft fees and debit cards and online bill pay and knowing if these fees will be charged, could it save them hundreds of dollars each year,
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A school's financial aid office assists you and your family by providing information on ways to pay for your education and to deal with these fees. The financial aid office is usually involved with you after the school has made you an offer of admission. And you can typically go to the financial aid office to do certain things like learn about federal and private student aid options, including aid programs for that specific school, or find out about deadlines for student aid applications and obtain forms and money management guidance. And that money management includes making sure that you know how to deal with overdraft fees and fees towards your debit cards and fees for online bill pay.
Wow. That is awesome right there. So for as many that actually have to pay for the college tuition, what's one of the first decisions they need to make? What do they have to make first?
Yeah, well, you have a choice about how you pay for your education, and understanding your choices can help you make the right decision for your situation. And one means of financial assistance is grants and scholarships.
Okay.
And grants and scholarships are a type of financial aid that does not have to be repaid. And grants are often need-based, while scholarships are usually merit-based. Your school's financial aid office is involved in the allocation and disbursement of grant and scholarship aids. The free application for federal student aid, also known as FAFSA form, is the starting point in applying for college financial aid. So you asked about what is one of the first decisions that they made.
Right.
Is whether you're going to take out that federal student aid and also whether you're going to apply for those grants and scholarships through the FAFSA program.
Now, if you would let them know, like, what is FAFSA? And then before we go to the break, could you kind of break down what FAFSA is, please?
Well, the name of the FAFSA is kind of misleading because you may assume that you're completing it to qualify for student aid through or sponsored by the federal government. While you are, the FAFSA form information and the analysis of the answers you provide on it are also used by many colleges and universities as a starting point for determining your aid eligibility and ultimately how much a given school would charge you to attend. In order to receive federal grant aid or borrow federal student loans, you or your parent must fill out a FAFSA form, and this can be completed online.
Okay.
You will need to get what is called a FSA ID,
okay,
which allows students and parents to identify themselves electronically and to access federal student aid websites. And you get that on the FAFSA website. And according to the U.S. Department of Education, you can list up to 10 colleges on your FAFSA.
Okay.
And once you receive your student aid report, which provides you with the info you submitted on your FAFSA form and summarizes your eligibility for federal student aid, you can make the information available to more than 10 colleges. And the school's financial aid office will receive your FAFSA information from the U.S. Department of Education. And then they will tell you about your award, the amount of money or aid that you will be awarded, and other options. And this is generally referred to as your financial aid award package.
Nice, nice. So we're at the Mississippi Center for Justice, and we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll get into more information so we can help these new college students get themselves together, and those that may, they're going back all over again, So,
yeah.
All right. So we will get more into that when we get back, and, really, it's up. Actually, I'm really not kidding, though. Sounded pretty good. Ty, did you think that it sounded good, though?
I did. Yeah, okay. That was a good bring-in.
That was a good bring-in. They said it was DJ Chose, but it wasn't. So, all right, we are getting it in. And listen, listeners, like, they should always seek out grants and scholarships and other money that, you don't have to pay back before turning a loan. So, however, like, if you got to borrow to cover the cost of your education, apply for federal student loans, right?
Yeah, that's right. In schools that receive your information from your FAFSA will be able to tell you if you qualify for federal student loans. Almost every American family qualifies for federal student loans. It is best to max out your federal student loans before you borrow any private student loans, because there's a difference between the two. Federal student loans can be better for students in several important ways. In some cases, the federal government will subsidize, pay the interest on your federal student loan while you are in school. Your interest rate for the federal student loan is generally fixed, not variable. And private student loans can have fixed or variable rate interest. And the difference between fixed and variable, if you take out a student loan that has a fixed rate, that means the interest rate remains the same. It can't raise. A variable interest rate means that it can shift and it can adjust and it can raise over time, increasing the amount you owe. So you want to, in any general situation, taking out a loan, you want to try to get a fixed rate loan. But with regard to federal student loans, try to get a fixed rate student loan. A variable rate means that your interest rate and your payment can change. Federal student loans allow you to enroll in a repayment plan based on your income, and this limits the amount you must repay each month based on your income. And another reason to select a federal student loan is loan forgiveness on federal student loans may be available after 10 years of working in the public service. So you may have the loan dismissed after working in public service for 10 years.
Oh, wow. So like if your grads, your scholarships, federal student loans, now If that's not enough to cover the cost, of your education, then you should, consider, some other options.
Yeah, and there are other options. The first thing you probably want to consider is try cutting costs. Consider getting one or more roommates or a part-time job when you're in college, and that could help you cut costs. And see what your family can contribute. Your parents may be able to get tax credits for their contributions. Shop for a private student loan only after you have exhausted all other options. For private student loans, you might first consult your local credit union or bank if you or your family member holds an account there. You should also consult your school's financial aid office to see if they have any lenders who offer special rates to their students. And private student loans are any student loan that are not federal student loans. So private student loans are any loans that are not federal student loans. These loans do not offer the flexible payment terms or protections provided by federal student loans.
Okay.
And private student loans are not funded or subsidized by the federal government.
Okay.
Instead, they are funded by banks, credit unions, student loan programs, and other types of lenders. And generally, you should turn to private student loans, and I'm saying this again, it's probably the fourth time I've said it. Generally, should turn to private student loans only after you have explored all other grant, scholarship, and federal student loan options, because private student loans generally have variable interest rates, which can reset every month or quarter, causing your monthly payment to increase.
Wow. And then another reason, you know, to seek out, you know, federal student loans instead of the private is because, you know, like your federal student loans, you know, they may be eligible again, like, you know, for forgiveness, cancellation, or discharge. It just all depends.
Yeah. And the terms forgiveness, cancellation, and discharge mean nearly the same thing, but they're used in different ways. If you're no longer required to make payments on your loans due to your job, this is generally called forgiveness or cancellation. And if you're no longer required to make payments on your loans due to other circumstances, such as a total and permanent disability or the closure of the school where you receive your loan, this is generally called a discharge. And it's important to remember that outside the circumstances that may qualify you to have your loans forgiven, canceled, or discharged, you remain responsible for repaying your loan whether or not you complete your education. So find a job, whether or not you complete your education, find a job related to your program of study, or whether or not you're happy with the education you paid for with your loan. Even if you were a minor, meaning you were under age 18, when you received the loan, you are still responsible for repaying the loan back.
Gotcha. So, like, now, what ways can, you know, someone have their, you know, their loan, you know, forgiven? Give us a couple of examples of that, please.
Yeah, and that's important to know. And one way of having your loan forgiven is through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. It's a federal program, which means that if you are employed by a government or a nonprofit organization after graduation, you may be able to receive loan forgiveness under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. This program forgives the remaining balance on your direct loans after you have made 120 qualifying monthly payments under a qualifying repayment plan while working full-time for a qualifying employee. And just to put that in a little bit of context, some people are paying student loans for the rest of their life.
Right. Yeah, that's facts.
People out here with $100,000, $200,000 in student loans, they're paying these things like they're paying a mortgage,
right,
you know, until they die. But under this program, depending on what type of job you get after you graduate, after 120 qualifying monthly payments, I think that's around 10 years, then they will forgive the student loan.
Okay.
There's also the Teacher Loan Forgiveness Program, where if you teach full-time for 5 complete and consecutive academic years in a low-income elementary school, secondary school, you may be eligible for forgiveness of up to $17,500 on your federal student loan. So that's a pretty good program also.
Absolutely.
And those are but a few of the several ways federal loans may be forgiven. But what's important to know is that these forgiveness options may not be available with private student loans, which is what makes federal student loans so much more attractive.
So, all right, now, being that some are getting loans or whatever, and before we go to the next break, please, what about, you know, loan consolidation? What, you know, give us a little information about, you know, consolidating them.
Yeah, that's important. That's very important. Consolidation of federal student loans is an important option when it's time to repay them. If you have multiple federal student loans, you can consolidate them into a single direct consolidation loan. This may simplify repayment if you are currently making separate loan payments to different loan holders or services, as you will only have one monthly payment to make. It's basically a loan consolidation. You know, you don't have to send out 3 and 4 different payments for three or four different loans each month. They consolidate into one loan, lower the amount of money that you're sending out each month, and you're only sending out one payment. And there may be trade-offs, however, so you'll want to learn about the advantages and possible disadvantages of loan consolidation before you consolidate. But there are certainly some advantages.
All right, great. So now, when the time arrives to repay your federal student loans, and we'll go to the break after this, important to know the different repayment plans. So what we'll do is we'll get into the type of repayment plans that are available right after the break.
All right.
All right. Back to the Mississippi Center for Justice. And now, Ty, basically, we've gotten a lot of information out there. But now, when it's time to repay the federal student loans, we need to know the different types of repayment plans and what types are available. So what do you have for us?
Yeah, the first type is the standard repayment plan. And all borrowers are eligible for this plan. And payments are, under this plan, payments are a fixed amount that ensures your loans are paid off within a certain number of years. Another type is the graduated repayment plan, which is also available to all borrowers. Under the graduated repayment plan, payments are lower at first and then increase, usually every 2 years, and are for an amount that will ensure your loans are paid off within 10 years and within 10 to 30 years for a consolidation loan. The pay-as-you-earn repayment plan is for newer borrowers. Under this plan, your monthly payments will be 10% of your discretionary income, but never more than you would have paid under the 10-year standard repayment plan. And payments are kept recalculated each year and are based on your updated income and family size. You must update your income and family size each year, even if they haven't changed. And if you're married, your spouse's income or loan or debt will be considered only if you file a joint tax return. And any outstanding balance on your loan will be forgiven if you haven't repaid your loan in full after 20 years.
Wow, that's some great information. Now, before we get to the wrap-up, what are there some other plans that we should know about?
Yeah, there's also the income-based repayment plan, in which you must have a high debt relative to your income. Under this plan, your monthly payments will be either 10 or 15% of your income, depending on when you receive your first loan, but never more than you would have paid under the 10-year standard repayment plan. And payments are recalculated each year and are based on your updated income and family size. We already spoke about if you're married, mm-hmm. your spouse's income and debt will be considered if you file jointly.
Okay.
And any outstanding balance on your loan will be forgiven if you haven't repaid your loan in full in 20 years. And regardless of how you plan to fund your education, mm-hmm. it's important to think about this early and come up with a plan.
Nice.
Federal student loans, grants, private student loans, make sure you have a plan, especially talking to the graduates who are graduating now and may start thinking about opening you a bank account before you get to college, before you get to that first day, so you have that knocked out of the way, so that when you do get a grant or a student loan or some type of money from a university, they can get that money into your account without you having to wait around and wait on a paper check, which could take a while.
Right.
Thank you again for joining us this afternoon on Community Conversations with the Mississippi Center for Justice. And as always, if listeners should have any consumer protection questions, you can look us up at www.mscenterforjustice.org or call us at 844-397-4625. And you can follow me at Ty Pinkins on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
There it is. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the Mississippi Center for Justice. Thank you, Ty. We'll be back at it Tuesday at 3:30. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Thank you.
There it is.